This is the Brandt and Sherry podcast, sponsored by MediShare. For more info about the show or about Brandt's book, Unoffendable, check out BrantHanson.com.
You ladies treat each other really bad sometimes. I don't know if you know that. Maybe you need me to come alongside you and point it out.
That's what we've been waiting for, is a revelation.
Someone on the
Brandt
outside.
Hanson, yes.
I guess I'm surprised by it because I this is dumb. I know it's naive, but I tend to think of women not being like guys in terms of our trying to outdo each other. Mm-hmm. But man, it's vicious. And I'm heartbroken. I was talking to my daughter yesterday and she's away from home and I cannot believe how women treat each other.
Yeah.
It's like a musical chairs game and they're all afraid they're going to be left out at the end or something, or always looking over your shoulder. It's really odd. I've been telling her, like, can you find some people who don't do that? Like, mm-hmm. aren't trying to jostle for position or something? You know what I'm talking about?
I do, but I mean, at that age, it's very difficult because you don't know who you are or where your place is in the world, so you have all of that playing into it.
Yeah.
And it's just hard. It really is. I mean, hopefully when you grow up, you learn not to be that way.
Well, wouldn't you want to align yourself? I would think as you get older, like align yourself with people who aren't looking for the next thing, like so that they're trying to improve. Like, no, I want to hang out with her because she's this.
Yeah.
Like, it's heartbreaking. As a dad watching it, that's all. Do you think women tend to grow out of that? We were just talking about the thing that my daughter has run into, and I'm not going to get into details on it. It's just, mm-hmm. this is life, right?
But right.
Other females, she's 19,
mm-hmm.
that are like being really cold and then hot and then cold to each other. And
yeah, that's
jostling for position.
That's 19 as a female. I mean, I don't know how you're not that. If you're not that, that's very mature, but I think that's just kind of normal and you kind of grow out of it. I think it's far more heartbreaking when you're 42 or you're 43. And that's still what you're doing.
Still looking for another, still looking over somebody's shoulder.
Yeah, still comparing yourself, still sizing everyone up and seeing where you fit in the whole the scheme of things or the whole ladder. And that's not just women. That's men, too. And
oh, totally.
And beyond that, when it enters church culture, that is really heartbreaking. So when you have people who are supposed to be mature and people who are supposed to be loving because of Jesus, and you're in this church culture and you're sizing each other up and trying to get over this one and that one, that becomes far more heartbreaking because then where is the solace or the relief
for
the world?
Is there a community where you don't have that going on?
Yeah.
And I'd like to say, yeah, because that would be it. Mm-hmm. That's designed to be it. There's this thing, I actually saw this in the news. It was in Inc. magazine about how we always want what we can't have. So marketers have figured this out, and obviously, like Tickle Me Elmo shortage,
mm-hmm.
perfect example. Like, I don't want to Tickle Me Elmo.
Until there's two left.
There's only two. Oh my goodness, get out of my way. He's taking the last one. Now, if I hear that I can't, you know, maybe I can't get there. Well, you have to think that applies to social situations.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you grow up, you're always going to want to be with them. The mm-hmm. other people who are just starting to lock you out a little bit. Like, well, I want to be with that group or that, until you grow up. So you can finally be content with the people you have, with where you are. And if some people don't want to hear that, no, I got to improve my lot in life. Until when? Until when? And always be looking over your shoulder, always be looking over somebody. You can't just meet someone because you're looking who else is in the room.
And you're like, trying to size up and,
right?
Yeah, where you are in comparison to the other person. It's exhausting.
It's a good idea today. Look around the people you're around and go, good enough. These people, good enough. Right now, as you are listening, I am wearing black pants, a little black beret, white gloves, a black and white striped shirt.
Mm-hmm. It's a little tight.
Yep, a little too tight. That's part of the whole French
stagecraft
thing.
Stagecraft, got it.
With miming. I'm in full mime regalia.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is we mime the news headlines. Royal we mime. And so I'm ready to mime. I'm actually so good I can do this on the radio, and it brings the news to life because we could just tell you, oh, such and such happened. So what? So what? How does that affect me? But when you see it mimed, you realize, wow, this has an effect on me.
I think people like just hearing the news and what's going on. I don't know if they want to interpret.
What we'll be doing here is miming the news. This is a story from Japan. I'm about to mime it.
Okay.
It actually happened. So I'll be miming. The story is burglar enters darkened room, switches light on, revealing 12 sumo wrestlers. Burglar wrestled to ground until police arrive.
You're going to mime all of that?
Here I go. I'm going to mime this. Well, this. So I have to have the surprise when the light comes on. And then,
I'm interested to see how this all plays out.
I have to physically represent 12 sumo wrestlers and then wrestle myself.
Let's see it.
Here we go. Miming the news.
Man. Wow. Well, your makeup is a mess now. Jeez.
Oh my goodness.
It's all over the place.
Ow. Wow. That was very physical.
It was physical. That's the most physical mime I have ever seen.
My beret back on.
If you are not socially slick, well, good news. I wasn't either. Yeah, it's true. Back in the day, it's true. And so that's why I want to do a little role play here with Sherry. I'm going to demonstrate how you can be just as slick and cool as I am.
Oh, this is nice. It's nice you're doing this for the audience.
Yeah, you bring a fact. So let's say we'll role play like being at a work event where they have name tags and baby carrots on a table at front with some water.
Right.
All right. And then so you're standing there.
Okay. Hi. Is it Brandt? How are you? My name's Sherry. Nice.
Irrational numbers are fascinating. Think about this. Pi, which is an irrational number, goes on forever, infinitely, with new digits. Digits, 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 into space. If you think about it, that means your phone number is in pi at some point.
Right.
Also, if you converted numbers to letters, like corresponding letters, A being 1, C being 3, for instance, your life story is in pi.
Can you hand me some baby carrots over there, please?
Yes. And that's how you make friends with
that
people.
That is so awful.
Yeah.
Brandt, I mean, it's not that that's
awfully
not an interesting...
Awfully awesome. It is. True Confessions of Election Season. My name is Brandt. I have to confess something.
Oh, this should be good.
I'm a dad, right?
Yes.
So, I like kids. Mm-hmm. But if I see an advertisement where it's a guy is like, look at his beautiful family. He's got 4 toddlers and his wife.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe I should vote against this guy so that he doesn't have to leave. I actually do
I'm
think
sure
that
that's
way.
Not what they intend.
I know, but I'm like,
poster
man,
out.
How about you wait a little bit, dude? It honestly crosses my mind. And it's not fair. I may still vote for him.
Okay.
But it does. It has the opposite effect on me when I see... You got little kids in the house, and you're busy, busy, busy. Like, well, I don't want to put this on you. I know it's about the issues, but I'm kind of worried about you. Just talking about dads and elections and stuff, I guess it could go for moms, too. But, if I see a dad in an election commercial, and he's got, 4 toddlers at home, well, that's great. He's probably a great guy. But I don't want to necessarily send him to the state senate if it means he can't spend more time with his kids. I'm almost prone to, hey, dude. I'll vote for the other guy so you can stay home.
Right, because you made that decision, right?
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Big time. So please understand that's where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. And I talk to guys about this all the time. I'm like, dude, free up time. Make less money, free up time. And I know people are in different situations. Oh, it's not one size fits all, Brandt. Okay, whatever. But I'll tell you this. I don't regret 1 second of it. Mm-hmm. Not 1 second. We did not have money to make ends meet.
I was going to say, there were some financial struggles there, right?
Totally. But I had, the way it was structured, I knew my kids, and I know them now. I know them, and they know me. Mm-hmm. So I'm on the phone last night. We were talking about stuff my daughter's going through, and she's going through some tough social stuff, but she's talking to her dad because we know each other. I mean, I would not for $1, wouldn't change a thing looking back on it. You've heard us talking about MediShare. We're so thankful for them. Here is the info. If you want to contact them and find out about how you can maybe save a ton of money when it comes to your health bills, you share it with other people. It's really remarkable. But anyway, here's how you can find out about it.
You can look them up online at biblicalhealthcare.com, or you can call 855-772-5699.
Most of us are not Bible scholars. I'm certainly not. I don't have it memorized at all. So occasionally I'll come across things. I'm like, whoa. Didn't know that was in there. And this is especially relevant if you are dealing with somebody who's tough to handle. could be your boss, could be a teacher, somebody at school or whatever. There's actually a proverb that says, through patience, a ruler can be persuaded and a gentle tongue can break a bone.
Oh, Lord, help us.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was good. That's good. Why do you say that?
Because I'm not always good at the gentle tongue.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Most of us don't want to go that way. But
yeah.
This is saying it's an incredibly effective way. Like, mm-hmm. pause again before you go off. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Even a ruler can be persuaded with gentleness and just like... there's a tremendous amount of power with just some kind words.
That's a constant theme in scripture, so it's not subtle.
Oh, totally. It totally is. And it's not about being weak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, we have weaknesses. That's okay. But it's not about, hey, you need to just get run over. It's saying this is an effective way to help change people's minds. It's so awesome. We don't have any prizes to give away, so we ratchet up the level of interest by raising the stakes. So forget winning a bumper sticker or something.
Some people like having the bumper stickers to promote the station.
But this is so much more dramatic for everybody, Sherry. A planet, we're looking at a planet on a spaceship right now, and that planet has alien life on it. It'll blow up if our listener, whoever this is, looks like Kelsey. Kelsey, do you want to do this? If you miss the question, the planet blows up, are you all right with doing this thing here?
Well... not really, but I guess I'll go there.
Thank you. Oh, also, I forgot to mention, not just friendly aliens, but their sweet little pets.
Oh,
that they
my
have.
Goodness.
I know.
Well, that doesn't help.
So I hope you don't miss this. Here's the question for you. 20% of third graders have one of these. What are they? Multiple choice. You got a 50-50 shot. 20% of third graders have one of these. Are they cell phones or TVs?
Whoa.
Rides on Kelsey's hand.
I'm going to have to go with the cell phone because I feel like more and more kids are carrying those around these days.
That's how Kelsey feels, and we'll see. We're going to watch, and you have to keep your eyes open and watch this planet blow up if you got it wrong. That's part of the experience.
Why does she have to?
Just to feel what you did. The right answer is 20% of third graders have cell phones.
Oh, you did it! Wow. Just touch and go there for
Kelsey.
A minute. Queen Kelsey.
Now I can sleep at night.
That is pretty amazing. We were just talking about this, that one out of every five third graders has a cell phone. I bet a lot of them are smartphones, too.
Yeah.
That's surprising to me. We were just talking to Kelsey about
it. What about that? Kids that young? How old are you in third grade?
Eight? Nine?
Yeah, like 8 or 9. I think that's a little crazy, to be honest. I didn't get a cell phone until I was in junior high, and it was just one of those, like, flip phone thingamabobs. So I think it's crazy, because I don't feel like I had that many people to communicate with on that level in third grade.
Yeah, my mom didn't let me have a cell phone, too.
Oh, get out of here when you're about 36.
I was outside of college.
Those amenities weren't around when we were young.
She just refused to invent one. If you're looking for a way to make friends with people, another tip, again, I've had to learn this the hard way because I wasn't always smooth.
Mm-hmm. But you're smooth now. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. So what I'll do is if I'm hanging out with the guys,
okay,
like we're hanging out on the street. I live in a place where there's people coming and going all the time. I got friends on the street corner and stuff. We hang out. Yeah. I make sure, like, I don't know how to fix cars. They're all into cars.
Okay.
I don't know anything about cars except how to pronounce them right.
Pronounce the different
It's not
names.
Porsche. It's Porsche, for instance. It's not Lamborghini.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually Lamborghini. That's genuinely how you would say it. It's not Volkswagen. It's Volkswagen. That's the correct way to say it.
I just want to be clear. So instead of helping fix cars, you're just going to sit
I
there and pronounce
them. I help them fix the way that they say the cars.
And this makes you cool?
Yeah, I think they really like it.
Have you tried it?
Yeah.
And what did they do?
Well, we haven't gotten back together again. It's been a while, but I think they just went to their own separate areas and thought about it. But it is. It's Volkswagen. If you want to be in on it, Volkswagen. That's how you say it. I help them fix that.
Sure.
Hey, if you're new to the show, you should know something. Like a lot of times you'll hear people on the radio like, oh, it's National Chocolate Eclair Week.
Yes, and they say it just like
that. They always talk like this. But we don't do that. Hey, we don't talk like that.
No, no.
Except to make fun of the people that talk like that, which I should stop doing.
Right, sure.
But I refuse to celebrate whatever the national or international day of is. I won't.
And can you tell everyone why again?
Because you can't boss me. It's a UN thing.
It's
like
not...
whatever the United Nations cabal, some
you
they're
think
meeting
there's
in
a
some room
about
saying everybody's going to do yes.
Okay.
There's some marketing firm and they're saying do this. I'm going to zag. If you take zig, Department of Zig says everybody has to zig. I'm like, I'm not doing it.
Okay.
So this is National Tattoo Week.
Mm. Okay.
Okay. I don't have any tats.
Right.
Don't plan to get any.
Mm-hmm.
But what I thought I would do in order to zag is I would think about what tattoo I would get and then not get it.
Hmm.
So
that's a lot of zagging.
I decided I wanted an owl with like glasses on it.
Okay.
I would get that and he'd be reading a book.
An owl reading a book with glasses.
Yeah, with
that's
glasses.
The tattoo
maybe
you
like
would
across
get.
My back, like a big
a
one.
A big owl.
But
you're not going to do
not
it
gonna do
because
it.
It's the day to do it.
Yep. So you can't boss me
you
around.
You showed them.
Thank you. Welcome to the Honesty Cafe. We are sitting here having some burnt toast together in this awesome diner type environment. It's very nice. Dry burnt toast for everyone.
I don't like dry burnt toast.
Joining us is Rebecca. In the Honesty Cafe, we just ask you a question. You just got to be honest. That's all we're asking for. We love talking to people who listen to the show about stuff. So here's a question. How quickly do you jump to conclusions about people? That's it. What do you say, Rebecca?
Oh, very quickly. Doesn't everyone know?
I think so.
I think life would be a lot
totally
easier
natural.
If people said, yes, I do. And I'm trying not to, or I've been wrong in this situation or whatever, but it's the denying of it that gets me.
In and of itself, it's not necessarily evil.
It's not evil at all, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, your dog does it.
Right.
Because it's for survival in some cases.
Right.
Or I can go, oh, this person, she looks like she's about 90.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to treat her differently. I'm going to draw some conclusions.
Right.
She's not going to want to talk about Snapchat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not evil. Because I don't either.
Right. That's true. It's not necessarily evil. It's, if people would just quickly say, yes,
yeah.
I do,
yeah.
then that would, yeah, solve a lot of issues.
It would. Like me? No.
No, never me.
Can I say that I brought a pizza for Sherry and I to enjoy while you share your burnt toast?
Oh, thank you. Finally.
Wait, the waiter's coming over. He wants to say something to me. Oh, what a botulism. Weird. Okay. Yeah, you guys better just have some burnt toast.
No.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Finally, someone has considered me.
No. So, for you.
I think it kind of depends on their, like, the first impression I get of them, I guess. Because some people, I tend to be like, oh, they're a good person. They're really nice. And then other people, I get, like, you know, I meet them one time, and I'm like, I don't know if I really like that person too much.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it just depends on, like, first impressions. And then as far as situations go, I'm a worrier, so I tend to jump to, like, the worst possible scenario when it comes to jumping to conclusions about situations.
That's interesting.
Wow.
Let's see, another question for you.
What about jump conclusion for you, Brant?
Absolutely, very quickly.
Really?
I think it's because I like types. I like quickly putting people in a type.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds horrible. Instantly you think, okay, he's a racist.
Right. That's what Kelsey and I were sitting here thinking.
But it goes across the board. Like,
yeah.
Oh, he's one of those funny guys. Or she's one of those sweet old...
Yes.
You know, like, there's all these types. And I think if you think... I think it's pretty normal for people.
It is very normal.
Especially if they're a writer or something,
mm-hmm.
or an artist. Like, you just try to construct narratives. I think it's totally normal, totally natural. And the best thing is to be aware of it and go, that does not mean... Prepare yourself to be surprised.
Yeah. And be wrong.
Right.
And be wrong.
Yeah.
And then be happily wrong about it.
Nice.
It's such a tough question. Does everybody go to heaven? I mean, when I'm talking to people, and I've got friends and people I know across the board on their beliefs, and I love that. I love them. But that's one of the things they can get hung up on is go, well, why doesn't everybody get to go to heaven? And my response is, does everybody want to? I don't think they do. Because, like, if I want God as king, That's what heaven's going to be. God is totally in charge, his way, his kingdom, the way things go when he's in charge. I long for that, by the way. I associate that with lame people being able to get up and run and, you know, lives being restored and healing. That's what I associate the kingdom of God with. I cannot wait. That said, there's people who can know him and still go, I don't want that. I want to be in charge. And if you want him, if you want yourself to be in charge here, you don't want him. Why would you want to have eternity with him in charge? I think, honestly, some people just don't want that. And God will say, in the end, you get what you want. And you wanted the kingdom of you. You've chosen it. We even get to see glimpses of where that leads in real time. We can start to see when I choose me as king, I can see it tends to leave me alone. You ever get a bill in the mail or, you know, online? You're like, I don't think that's accurate, but you're not sure.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, to me, this would throw up red flags too, because he got his phone bill and it said he had to pay it right now. It was for $218 trillion.
That's a little pricey.
Yeah, because if I got a bill for $218 trillion,
you may have went over your data plan a
little bit. Exactly. I'd be like, what did they download? Because to me, that's too high.
Just a little.
Like, my plan is pretty expensive.
Right.
But, like, they should have told me at the Apple store or wherever.
That was
yeah. Like, it shouldn't cost, to me.
Yeah.
But
everybody's different.
The phone company said he needs to pay it the next 10 days or face prosecution.
Well, hey.
So, hey, dude, if you've been
out there
streaming Netflix off your... That's why you have to hook up to a Wi-Fi.
Yeah, or you may have to pony up off of $218 trillion.
Maybe you can get like a payment plan, so it's like a dollar a year for 218 trillion years. That's what I would try to
hopefully they're that
negotiate.
Flexible.
I hope
sure.
so.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. The Brad and Sherry podcast is sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about MediShare, call 855-772-5699.